God's Word together with you. I invite you to take your Scripture and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. Today I want to step out of the book of Hebrews for just this one Lord's Day and to look into the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And today I want us to look at verses 14 through 16. The title of the message is The Light of the World. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, I want to first read the text. Jesus said to His disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bushel or under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." If you have been keeping up with the news lately, you're aware that Christmas has come under quite a vicious attack of late. People all across the country and around the world are doing all within their power to blot out any mention of the name of Christ in Christmas. And of course, this is an attack not upon a season, but upon Christ Himself. For example, England's second largest city, Birmingham, canceled Christmas this year and has replaced it with a politically correct, generic year-end holiday dubbed Winterval. In Italy, Jesus has been banned from Christmas carols in some cities and replaced with other benign names, anything but the name of Jesus, even at Christmas time and even in a Christmas carol. And here in America, it's no better. This debate has been escalating for the last decades to remove Christ from our culture and to strip Christ from Christmas. The efforts to have Jesus and manger scenes removed from government and public school property has been raging for some time, and now it is spilling out into the marketplace and into the public sector. Macy's, the giant downtown New York City department store, has replaced Merry Christmas now with neutered phrases like season's greetings, with no mention of Christ. Overall, Merry Christmas has become Happy Holidays. And never mind that holiday is a contraction of Holy Day. Christmas break is now winter break. The strategy, top to bottom, is to remove Christ utterly from Christmas, to make it an Xmas, if you will. This is a critical time in our culture and in our country regarding the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more Jesus is removed from the public square, the more we must include Jesus in our message and in our ministry. And this is really what we're all about, isn't it? We are all about being witnesses for Christ. As this world grows darker and darker in its opposition to Christ, now more than ever, we must be the light of the world. In fact, that's what Jesus said to His disciples. You are the light of the world. This is the time now for the light to shine brighter and more visible than ever before. And while the world is trying to hide Jesus under a basket, now is the time for us to put the light on the lampstand and to let the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine to the ends of the earth. And I have good news for you. The darkness can never extinguish the light, but the light always extinguishes the darkness. Let us shine forth the light of Christ before all men who are around us. This is the heartbeat of these verses in Matthew chapter 5, which I just read for you. It is a clear and compelling call to each one of us to be the light of the world, for the light of Jesus Christ to shine through us. As we look at these verses, allow me to give you the overview of these verses so that you might see where we're going in our study of this passage this morning. I want you to notice four truths about this passage. I want you to see first the mission. The mission of the church. The mission of believers. You are the light of the world. And then I want you to see, second, the illustrations. Jesus gives us two illustrations of what it looks like to be the light of the world. One, a city set on a hill. Two, a lamp that is put on a lampstand. Then third, I want you to see the exhortation. There's really only one exhortation at the beginning of verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good work. And then finally, the motivation. That God might be glorified. That praise might be rendered to our God. The mission, the illustrations, the exhortation, and then the motivation. Let's begin with the mission. In verse 14, Jesus states this so emphatically, with such a declarative statement, He looks into the eyes of His disciples and He says, "You are the light of the world." It's not subject to debate. There's no negotiation in here. He didn't ask them if they would like to be the light of the world. He simply, emphatically tells them, "You are the light of the world." There is no debate about this. He sought no input from them what they would like to be when they grow up. You are the light of the world. I want to look at this one word at a time. Notice He begins with you. It's in the emphatic position at the beginning of the verse, as if Jesus is pointing a finger at them and no one else. You are the light of the world. And Jesus points a finger at you today and says, "You are the light of the world." The "you" refers to everyone just previously mentioned. The "you" in verse 1 are the disciples who came to hear Him teach. The "you" in verse 3 are those who are poor in spirit, who have declared spiritual bankruptcy. The "you" is in verse 4, those who mourn over their sin and weep because they have offended and violated the holiness of God. In verse 5, the "you" is the gentle, those who are meek and who humble themselves beneath the mighty hand of God. In verse 6, the "you" is those who hunger and thirst for a righteousness, not of themselves, but a righteousness that would be given to them. The "you" in verse 7 are those who are merciful. Verse 8, those who are pure in heart. Verse 9, those who are peacemakers. Verse 10 through 12, those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. It is all one lump package. And it is to these that Jesus says, "You and you only are the light of the world." Notice the second word, "are." You are the light of the world. Not you should be the light of the world. It doesn't say you would be, could be, should be the light of the world. No. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are blood-bought through the cross, you are the light of the world. Third word, "the." Definite article. Not that you're a light of the world, as if there are many points of light that God has in this world. No, there is only one light in this world. And it is the light of Christ shining through His disciples. And this word "light" indicates witness. It speaks of shining forth in a dark world. The truth. The knowledge of God. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a sending out of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world that is in darkness. A world that is in ignorance of God. A world that is filled with evil and sin. My friend, this is more than a statement. This is a mandate. This is a mandate from the head of the church to every disciple. There is no There are no conditions placed on this. You, if you're a disciple, are the light of the world. And in reality, this is a preview of the Great Commission. This is a foretaste, if you will, of Matthew 28:19, to go into all the world and to make disciples and to teach them all things that I have commanded you. Now, I want to make two observations under this mission. Number one, Jesus is the true light, capital L. We are only the light, small L. The light does not originate with us, does it? Jesus is the true light, capital L. John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And by that He meant that this world is in darkness, which means ignorance, ignorance of the truth, ignorance of God. It is a word for depravity, as this world is a cesspool of iniquity. And it is a symbol, darkness, for being lost. When you are in the dark, you are lost and cannot see the way. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, meaning I have come into a dark world to bring the true knowledge of God. When you see me, you see the Father, to bring the message of salvation, to expose deeds done in darkness with His light, and to bring the light of salvation to a dark and decadent and decaying world. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the only light of the world, capital L. Not merely a light, but the light. John 1:9, He is the true light. And so if Jesus is the true light, capital L, then second, all disciples are the light of the world, small L. Jot down John 9, verse 5. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Indicating, hinting at, the light would not be long in this world. While He is in the world, He is the light of the world. But indicating that the light would soon be removed, which it was following His resurrection. He ascended to heaven where He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the light removed now. It is Jesus' plan, while He is at the right hand of God the Father, to fill your life with the glory of His light and for His light to shine through you to a dark and dismal world. This is the mission, that God's light in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, would illuminate you and enlighten your inner being, and that this light would shine forth from you in a dark world. Now understand, in ourselves, no Christian is the light of the world. Only as Christ is in us and His light is shining forth from us are we able to be the light of the world. Listen to this. All disciples are, quote, light in the Lord and children of light. Ephesians 5:8. We are called to believe in the light and become sons of light. John 12:36. We are full of light. Matthew 6:22. We bear the fruit of light. Ephesians 5:9. We are told to put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. We are told to turn to the light, Acts 22:16, and to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7. In the truest sense, we experience Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And my friend, if you have Christ in your life, you have the light of God within you, And if you do not have Christ, you are in darkness and you are separated from Christ. This is our mission. We are to shine forth the light of Christ. Not our own light, but the light of the gospel and the light of Christ's likeness. It is to shine to the world all around us. And I want to add, that is the mission of this church as well. We are here to be a lighthouse for the glory of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has strategically called us to live in a very dark city. This is one of the darkest cities in America. There is religious superstition, and there is carnival activity of all forms of darkness in this town in which we live. But that's all right, because the darker the night, the brighter the light. And how grateful we are that God, by His grace, has called us out of darkness to be His church, to be His people here. And from this place there would go shining forth the light of the gospel of Christ. Not only here, but to the ends of the earth for Jesus Christ. This is the mission. We are the light of the world. Let them remove Christ from Christmas. I don't want it, but it's our mission to hold forth Christ to the world. Now, second, I want you to see the illustrations. Jesus, the master teacher that He is, loves to paint pictures upon the canvas of our mind so that we could see what He is describing. And in 14b is illustration number one. In verse 15 is illustration number two. The first picture, the first illustration, is in verse 14. Jesus, in essence, is saying, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you what you are to look like. Picture number one is a city on a hill. Notice, He says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. There is no mistaking the intent of this illustration. It is to describe believers, disciples, the church, as a city set on a hill. Now notice this. That cannot be hidden. There is an absolute certainty about this. Now, when you travel in the Holy Land, and I hope one day we'll have the opportunity to travel together in the Holy Land, several things would impress us as we would travel there. One of which is, in America, cities are built mainly on rivers, because that's where commerce occurred. In the founding of our country, with ships going up and down rivers, most cities are on rivers or on coasts, but not in Israel. In Israel, most cities are on hills, because to be on a hill gives you a superior position of defense. The Middle East is a war-torn area. It has always been a war-torn area. It is not a land of peace. It is a land of conflict. You don't want to be in the valley where your aggressors have the superior position. You want to be on a hilltop. You want to be on a mountaintop to defend your city, as well as the wind when it blows in that hot, arid region makes it cooler to be on the hilltop. Now, when a city is built on a hill, there is an inevitable result that there is human life. And with human life, there is fire. And with fire, there are lights. And with lights, there are lamps. And these lights and these lamps in the city, Jesus is saying here, they cannot be hidden. And one little lamp, one candle, can shine for miles around in the darkness. And travelers, as they negotiate the valleys and the lower regions, can see that light and can be guided by that light as they would attempt to travel to that city. And the light is a reference point. And the light becomes there a way to show the way. Jesus says, this is actually what you are as disciples. And I think He's speaking even here collectively, because a city is made up of many people who live in community together, right? And we as the church are a city of collected believers and disciples in Christ whom God has strategically placed in His churches around the world, and they are to be a city set on a hill. Jesus is saying to these disciples, that's what you are. You are a city. You are a community of believers. You are a collection of lights that God has positioned in this city, in this region, in this state, in this country, and in this world, for you to shine in a dark world, and for the testimony of Christ to beam forth with purity and with clarity. That's the first illustration. That, again, is why God has put us here. That is our mandate. This is our mission. God, by putting us in this place, has appointed us to be a city that is set on a hill, and our light cannot be hidden. There's a second picture that is in which Jesus plays with our minds a bit to show how insidious it would be to be so appointed as a light by Christ and for you not to shine your light. Notice He says in verse 15, here's the second picture. The first is you're a city on a hill. The second is you are a lamp on a lampstand. Notice He says in verse 15, nor does anyone light a lamp. Now stop right there. People in Jesus' day obviously did not have the luxuries of electricity as we do, and they used small clay lamps that burned olive oil and were drawn up by a wick. These lamps were saucer-shaped objects. They were about 5.5 inches long, 4 inches wide, 1.5 inch high. These lamps had a handle on one end to hold the lamp so that it could be moved. And it had a nozzle-shaped extension on the other end that had a hole for a wick. And on top there were two holes, and in one hole the olive oil would be poured into the saucer-shaped lamp so that there could be the ignition of the light and the flame that would burn through the wick that came out the spout on the end. And there was another hole so that the air could circulate to keep the fire going. And so Jesus paints this picture. It's the picture of a lamp inside a dark room. A very dark room that has no other illumination. To take this lamp, to pour the oil in, to light the light, for the wick to be ignited. He goes on to say in verse 15, no one would go to all of that effort and all of that expense and put it under a basket. How silly. How stupid. How foolish. It would be like going into your bedroom and turn the light on in your closet and then just close the closet door and walk out. Why are you doing this? It doesn't help anyone. You can't even see by it. Jesus said no one would light a lamp and then hide it under a basket. A basket here was a large clay bowl that held ground meal for flour. No one would go to all of this trouble and be so foolish as to light a lamp and then hide it. Do you see where Jesus is going with this? He's talking about your life. He's talking about your witness. He's talking about the way you conduct yourself. He's talking about the way you carry yourself at work, at school, with your family, in the neighborhood. No one would hide their light, not after it had been lit. Instead, he says in the middle of verse 15, but, this now pivots with the word but, rather, instead, they would put it on a lampstand. A lampstand would feature the lamp. The lampstand would elevate the lamp and put it out in the open for everyone to see. These lampstands, we read, were like rock shelves that would be attached to a pillar in the middle of a room, like an upper room, that would hold the center beam up. You would want the lamp not even in a corner. You would want it in the very center of the room for maximum penetration of the light. And so they would attach a shelf to the pillar that was holding up the crossbeam so that this one lamp would be so strategically located that it would illumine 360 degrees the entirety of the room. He says, if you would light a lamp, the strategy would not for it to be obscured. The strategy would be to get it out in the open as much as possible, maximum exposure, so that that light could shine into every corner and nook and cranny of that room. That's what he says. But on the lampstand, verse 15, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Notice, it is singular, all is plural. One lamp lit can illumine all who are in the room. What an amazing thing it is for there to be one born-again Christian in a classroom. What that does to that classroom. One born-again Christian in an office. How that one little lamp, that one little light, and so many secretaries, so many workers are illumined and come under the influence of the witness of just that one lamp. This is the picture that Jesus gives of His disciples. He says, you are the light of the world. Don't hide yourself. Put your witness out there. Be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your one light can affect all who are in the room around you. This is the picture of what we are to be and what we are to do. A city set on a hill. A lamp set on a lampstand. And there's no negotiation. This is what you are. The only question is, what kind of a witness are you? Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8, you shall be my witnesses. We are witnesses for Christ. We are the light of the world. What kind are we? Notice third, the exhortation. Now Jesus moves from the instruction and from the illustration now to the exhortation. There's movement that's built in this passage now as Jesus goes to the challenge. He now places the teaching in our laps. He sets it before you. A choice must be made by us whether to follow this or whether to disregard this. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. This is the application. Sometimes at the end of a meeting that I'll be in, someone will say, what's the action point? What's our action point from this meeting? This is the action point of this text. This is how we carry out being the light of the world. Jesus said, "Let your light shine." Your light is in reality Christ's light within you. You can't shine forth what you do not already possess, right? We cannot create light. We either have the light to let it shine forth, or we don't have the light. And then we have to just pretend like we do and come up with other gimmicks to give some appearance of light. But if we have the light within us, all we have to do is open the windows and let it out. We don't have to manufacture the light. And the light has an extraordinary capacity of penetration to be able to fill up the darkness. Again, one light can fill up a whole room. What can a city do of a community of believers who are being filled with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? Notice he says, "Let your light shine before men where others see it." Don't hoard the light to yourself. The light does you no good to keep it to yourself. Let it shine before men in such a way, notice, that they may see your good works. This word "see" means that Christ is to shine through us, listen to these words, openly, visibly, publicly, clearly. Let your light shine for all to see your good works. Let me comment on your good works. The word "good" is a Greek word that means attractive. It means beautiful, which undoubtedly is a reference to Christ's likeness. Would you not agree the only thing good about your life is what the grace of God has done in your life? Would you not agree that the only thing that is beautiful about your life is Christ in your life? Of course, this good within us, these good works that come out of us, is in reality letting Christ shine through you. It is letting others see Christ in you. It is letting others hear about Christ from you. Sometimes people look at this verse and say, "Well, it's only about living it. We don't ever have to talk it or share it or bear the witness." But I would remind you, it's not preaching good works. It's not teaching good works. It's not singing good works. Is not witnessing and sharing the gospel of Christ, is that not the best of works? No, it's not simply just the integrity and character of your life that others would see your good works, but it is also your bearing the witness verbally to others. That also is your good works. Now, I thought about this these last days, and I want to give you four ways in which the light of Christ should shine through your life. This is very practical. This is how the reality of Christ should be seen by others around you. Number one, the love of Christ should shine through you to others, right? 1 John 2, verse 9 and 10. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother or hates his sister is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him, stumbling as if in the dark. How does the light of Christ shine through your life as you love other people? As you are patient and kind with other people, as you are forgiving as you hope all things, bear all things, believe all things towards other people. And it's not just towards other people that are easy for you to get along with, or cuddly kind of people for you. It's also loving your enemies this way. And those who harm you and seek your demise, for you to turn the other cheek and to go the second mile, the love of Christ shines through you. It is powerful. It is visible. It is unquestionable for others to see. Oh, what darkness, what an oxymoron, darkness shine through us. What darkness there is from our lives when we are carnal. And what light shines when the love of Christ floods our souls. Do you love others? Do you reach out to others? Are there those that you need to initiate love towards? It would be to let the light shine. Second, not only when the love of Christ shines through us, but also when the holiness of Christ shines through us. When we walk in purity, and when we walk in moral blamelessness. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "Now you are light in the Lord." That's what you are. You are light in the Lord. And Paul goes on to say, "Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all godliness," "in all goodness and righteousness and truth." As you walk in the light, as you walk in holiness and purity, when you don't blend in with the darkness, when you stand out from the darkness, when you are distinct, when you are holy and pure and set apart, the light of Christ is shining through you. You're a witness for Christ. There's a third aspect of letting the light shine, the love of Christ, the holiness of Christ. Third, when the Word of Christ shines through us. You see, when we verbally bear witness of Christ and testify to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know that the light is blazing through you like the noonday sun. You are a beacon of hope and a beacon of truth that is shining when you speak the words of Christ, representative of the entirety of Scripture, the full counsel of God. Write down Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. Paul tells the Philippians, "Prove yourselves to be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation." He's saying you need to stand out like light in the dark. You need to be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now listen to this. "Among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding forth the word of truth." Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 6:23 talks about the teaching of the Lord being light. Psalm 19, verse 8 talks about how His commandments enlighten us. When you speak the word of God to others in its purity, I want you to know the light of God and of Christ is shining through you. There's a fourth way, very much closely associated with the third. The light of Christ shines through us when the gospel of Christ shines through us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, talks about the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The light of the gospel. The light of the gospel. You know, I've found one thing to be true in my 25 years of pastoral ministry. The light does not need any gimmicks. The light just needs to be turned loose. The light of the gospel just needs to be sent. It doesn't need entertainment. It doesn't need worldliness. It doesn't need to be drugged through the mud of this world. The light just needs to be set on a lampstand and let it shine. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 talks about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And when Paul gave his testimony in Acts 26 verse 18, he said that through his preaching it was that men might turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. That's what it is for our light to shine. It's unmistakable. There is no doubt about what this is calling for. It is for Christ Himself to shine through us. And it is for Christ's love, His holiness, His Word, His Gospel to beam forth from our lives. That's what it is to let your light shine in this world. And I tell you, it'll be unmistakable. Men will see it. Women will see it. A blind man will see it. It's too distinct not to be detected. Finally, what's the motivation for this? Motivation is very important. It's not just what we do, and it's not just how we do it. It's why we do what we do is so critically important. What's in the heart that's driving our actions? At the end of verse 16, he tells us regarding letting our light shine. It's certainly not to draw attention to ourselves, is it? It's not that men would praise us. At the end of verse 16, it says that when we let our light shine so that men may see it, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now when he says in heaven, the idea is the Father is invisible. The Father cannot be seen. And Christ is at the right hand of God the Father, and He cannot be seen. But while we are here, we are His light. And when we shine forth, it glorifies the Father whom they cannot see, because the light is pointing men to Christ. The light is directing men's souls to Christ, because it is Christ in us that is shining forth. Do you know I see Christ in your life? I see Christ in the souls of the members of this church. I am both humbled and proud to say that. This is a bright place. There is much beaming love. There is much holiness. The Word of God and the Gospel of Christ is shining from your lives. There is much glory to God that is being given through your lives and through your ministries. Do you desire to glorify God? Then let more of the light of Christ's love shine through you. Then let more holiness, more of His Word shine through you. You say, can there be more? Oh, yes. As you go into His Word deeper and deeper, the light is being turned up brighter and brighter within you. And as the Holy Spirit of God is at work in your life and you are being filled by the Holy Spirit, there is stronger rays of light that are being sent forth from your life. But when you're not in the Word, and when you're not in prayer, and when you're just doing your thing for a season, oh, that light, it's like a flashlight with that battery just weak, weak, weak. It's yellow, How good it is to have that light within you increasing in its brightness to send forth to the world. It says this glorifies your Father who is in heaven. This word glorify, doxazo, is the word from which we get doxology. Your life becomes a worship service. Your life becomes a living doxology to God when the light is shining from you. On the other hand, God is dishonored when we hide our light under a bushel. God is dishonored when you don't speak up for Him. God is dishonored when He gives you divine appointments to share the gospel of Christ and you pull back and you think, I wonder what they'll think of me if I testify of Christ. God is dishonored when you act selfishly and do not love others, when you don't die to self. God is dishonored. And when you succumb to temptation and when you blend in with the world, there's no praise given to God for this. In fact, reproach comes to God. But how greatly God is glorified when the light of Christ shines through our actions, our reactions, our attitudes, our choices, our countenance, our words, our witness. I have a question for you. What do people see in your life? Do men see Christ in you? Is there a shining from your life that's distinct? Do people hear about Christ from you? That's why you're here. You are the light of the world. No one else. People all around you will not find Christ in the world, will they? Not in the world's literature, not in the world's culture, not in the world's pastimes. But they will find Christ in you. As you look to Him, and as you spend time with Him, thereby you allow His light to shine forth from you. Let your light shine, my friend, before men in such a way that they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Maybe you've not yet come to the light. Maybe at this moment you're still in darkness. I want you to know you're drawing close to the light by being here and hearing of the truth of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the truth. That Christ Jesus came into this world to be the light of salvation. You are in darkness. You cannot save yourself. You are under condemnation before God. And the only way for you to be saved, the only way for you to know the Lord's forgiveness, is for the light of the gospel of Christ to shine into your heart. Will you open your eyes and open your heart to the glories of Christ? Will you believe upon Christ unto eternal life? Will you repent and turn from the darkness? And will you believe upon Christ and receive the light? This is salvation. And this is glorious because it is for dark hearts to receive the pure light of grace and forgiveness. The greatest thing that could happen to you this Christmas would be for the Christmas light of Christ to shine into your dark heart and for you to be saved. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Let us pray.